Today's episode is going to be talking about some business lessons I have learned that are useful to anybody in the business generally, that they can take and apply to their own business. Hello and welcome to Marketing Your Business Business Podcasts. We talk about everything marketing, copywriting, lead generation, traffic, and sales for your health and wellness business. So I am Fola, and I have with me my production. What's your job description? My head of production, Claire.
So, yes, head of production. Hi guys, hi Fola.
Well, let's say production manager. There's the same thing, Shana. It doesn't really matter.
Yeah.
So yeah, I believe you've watched Suits, right? The Netflix show Suits.
Yes, I have. I didn't finish it because at some point I got tired.
I'm ashamed of you. Why did it
finish it? It was just getting too long.
It's quite long, sure. Yeah, it's like right. 9 seasons. And each of the seasons are probably like maybe 10 or 11 episodes.
Like, what are they showing?
I mean, I like the show.
Of course.
And it's actually the only long show I think I have finished. Most shows
finished
I just stopped halfway. Yeah, I finished it. Up to season 9. Yeah, I finished it.
Wow.
So... I think it was that's the only show that there's so long that I've actually finished. So, I like the show. I enjoy the show for like the entertainment side of things. But I can't help but draw out so many business lessons from the show whenever I watch it. So today's episode is going to be talking about some business lessons I have learned that are useful to anybody in the business generally, that they can take and apply to their own business. I've done an episode like this before. I don't remember the episode number itself, but there's an episode like this before. But this is going to be a sort of continuation on that because there's so much more things I have to say about just lessons, things you can think about marketing and business, generally speaking, from watching the show. So, if you haven't watched the show, obviously, there are going to be some spoilers. So, if you don't care about that, feel free to move on. I'll just continue listening. But if you don't want the show to be spoiled, you might have to watch the show first. But it is so long that I don't know how you want to do it.
It is so long. It's very so just long. Listen to the podcast, guys.
I don't think it matters. So you might just want to listen to the podcast. Yeah. Just listen to the podcast and then you can watch the show at any time. But for those that haven't watched the show, essentially, the show is about a New York law firm. Right, a law firm based in New York, and basically they talk about their day-to-day operations. So how do they get clients? How do they work with those clients? How do they win cases? They also talk about like internal politics in the organization. They talk about relationships, just things like that relating to the law firm, and then struggle for power, friendships, just general drama around the law firm. So that's kind of what the show is about. Now, most of the quotes I'm going to be talking about are from someone called Harvey in the show. So Harvey is essentially like their top lawyer, quote unquote.
And he's your favorite character.
And I don't know if he's my favorite character. I mean, I like him. I think Jessica is one of my favorite characters. I don't know who's my favorite character, but I like him. But essentially, he's arrogant, right? But he gets away with it because he's really good at what he does. So he can say things and they don't have repercussions because the office knows that without him they'll run at the loss essentially. So he gets away with a lot of things. So most of our quotes are going to be talking about him. But there's also another character called Lewis, who is also a very good lawyer, but he kind of always gets the short end of the stick. He's not as respected as Harvey, he doesn't earn as much as Harvey. So there's a little bit of jealousy there. Then there's Mike. Mike is basically Harvey's student that Harvey's training and teaching to become a good lawyer in the firm. So those are the three people we'll most likely be talking about in this podcast episode. So with that said, we can get into the episode. So do you want to say anything before we get into this? Or I can get into this?
No, you can get into it.
All right, so our first lesson from the show is nobody likes the show. So the first day that Mike got into the workplace, So remember, Mike is Harvey's student. Harvey is the main lawyer in the law firm. So the first time that Mike got into the office, his first day of the job, Rachel, which is a paralegal at the law firm, was showing him around. And then she was telling him, this is this particular office, this is this particular office, this is how we do things over here. And basically, he wasn't taking notes. And he wasn't, he was very nonchalant about it. And Rachel called him out on it and says, he's not taking notes, that he's not being serious enough. And then one thing about Mike is that he has photographic memory, so he can remember everything, or he can remember pretty much everything he has ever heard or learned, something like that. So he then goes on to recite everything she says to him word for word. And then Rachel responds with, you know what nobody likes? Nobody likes a show-off. And that is the main lesson of our episode today. Nobody likes a show-off. And in this particular case, it was Mike just talking about his knowledge, being able to recite what she had told him. But in our own case, as business owners, what it means is not bragging about what you could do for your customers, for your clients. Now, it's very easy to get into the habit of saying, let's say, for instance, Icon, we help people to make more sales and grow their business, get more revenue. It's so easy for us to market with, we made $100,000 last month, we made $50,000 this month, we made $1 million the other month. And it's so easy to do that. Whether or not it is true, if it comes across like bragging, then people are going to feel hesitation towards you. For one, bragging about results always brings out skepticism. So people are like, how are we sure he's not fudging the results or he's not lying, things like that. So they want to confirm that the results you are seeing is true. But secondly, there's an inherent distrust of people who brag. So if you ever have a friend or someone you know that is just constantly talking about how good they are or how well they do stuff, there's just a certain off-putting vibe that comes along with that. And it's easy to carry that into your business without realizing that you're actually turning off your customers instead of making them more willing to buy. So that's the first lesson. Nobody likes a show. Now, if you can't show off, you can't talk about your results per se, but you still want to demonstrate how good you are at your service or what you do for customers, what can you do? Well, a simple way is to just let other people brag about you. Now, this can be done in different ways, but if you have a customer that you have worked with that's maybe bought a product or service from you, getting a testimonial from them will be the first way to go about that. So ideally a video testimonial where people can see them and can see that they are really flesh and blood human beings. And the testimonial should be as specific as possible. So let's use Icon for instance. You don't want to sell a book on email marketing and somebody tells you the book was very good. What does very good mean? Like how much money did you make? How many new sales did you get? Was there a promotion? Like as specific as you can is the ideal for a testimonial. But even apart from a testimonial, you can also do different things. Like you can have case studies where you go through how you work with the clients and the changes you made, the results that happened because of the changes, your mindsets behind it, and all of that. So these are just a few ways you can allow others to brag on your behalf without you necessarily bragging. And that way, you don't get hated for bragging, but you also get the results that quote unquote bragging gives you, which is people believing that you're able to achieve results for them, more people willing to work with you, more people willing to do business with you, and things like that. Now, one other way is you can also retell a story or an experience you've had with a customer. So there are many times where you've done something good for your customer, but you don't have a testimonial from that person. So what you can do is in an email, you can narrate the experience. Say, I worked with this person. These were the problems this person was having. These were the procedures we put in place. And these were the results we got afterwards. You don't have to mention the name of the person, especially if you've not gotten permission, but you can just narrate that. There was a client, we were facing this problem. This is what we did. These were the results. And that way, you can get your story out there. You can get your proof without necessarily talking about yourself. So it's other people are endorsing you now, not that you are endorsing yourself. Does that kind of make sense?
Yeah, it does. It makes sense. It reduces the bragging.
Yes.
So people don't feel like you are bragging. Instead, your work is doing the bragging. Sorry.
Yeah.
Sorry.
Yeah, something else is I got an email from a customer, a subscriber, not customer, a few days ago, and the person was talking about a book that I gave away, and there's some templates in the book that he could use to write emails. And the person said, templates were nice, but she doesn't have any testimonials to use, so she couldn't really use a lot of the templates. Now, if you are in a similar position, what you need to understand is when you are trying to prove something in your email, yes, if you have testimonial, it's a form of proof. But there are other proofs that are not testimonial based. So one, you can prove the method you are using to teach them. So let's say, for instance, you teach, you're a health coach and you help people, or let's even go deeper, you're a pregnancy coach. You help people conceive and have safe pregnancy, right? You don't have to say particularly about all the clients you've worked with because that's a very touchy thing. It's a very sensitive topic. People might not want to come out and say you helped them. But what you could do is you can prove your methodology. So if you have a particular system that you use, maybe your system is based on diet and exercise and maybe timing or whatever, you can prove that methodology. So if there are research papers that have proven the method you use, if there are researchers in somewhere around the world, it can be from Harvard, it can be from any prestigious institution, you can use that as proof that your method works. So you can say something like, in 2019, a research paper came out by Harvard researchers that if you do X, Y, Z, you are 10 times more likely to be pregnant. And my methodology is based on this research. That's a way of using proof without particularly using your own testimonial. So that's a way you can use proof. So it doesn't always have to be testimony. It can be anything that gives you backing. Another sort of proof is using established authority in your industry. So if there's a popular doctor, maybe a fertility expert or something that people know already, you can use them as a point of authority if they approve of your method. So if they are one, if they've used your method, you can speak to them and they can give you like a sort of testimonial or endorsement. But even if they've not used your service before, so far they approve of your method, maybe they teach something similar, you can just talk about it in your email that this person teaches this. This is the result this person has gotten. My method is very similar, except for these few changes. Maybe I feel like this person doesn't think about this thing in a certain way. And I improved upon it. But the point is, you can always get proof from anywhere. It doesn't have to be testimonials. It can be scientific research, it can be statistics, it can be celebrity endorsements, it can be authority figures, it can be anything. It doesn't always have to be customer testimonials. So if that's something you're worrying about, that's just some ways you can go about it. So that said, let's move on to lesson two. So first lesson is, nobody likes a show off. The second lesson is play the odds, not the man. Now, there was a scene in the movie where Harvey loves to play poker, right? And he was playing with Louis. Louis is also a good lawyer in the firm, like I explained earlier, and he doesn't have the prestige that Harvey has. He doesn't get all the benefits that Harvey gets. So there's always some sort of rival between him and Harvey. But essentially, Louis and Harvey were playing a game of poker to win over a client. The client was also playing that game of poker. And Harvey won the game at the end of the day. Now, Harvey bluffed to Louis in order to win the game. And at the end, where Harvey won the game, he said, like I said, poker isn't about playing the odds, it's about playing the man. Right? And the client said, I must say I'm impressed. Well, that was impressive, something around that. And Harvey said, well, I didn't beat Louis to impress you. I beat him because that's what I do. I don't follow others. I don't bend the knee. I win. Right. So basically, just tapping into his personality, just saying he wins because he won, because that's what he does. He wins. But essentially, the phrase I want us to talk about is playing the man, not playing the odds. And I think that mindset can translate into business, into marketing specifically. Many times when I talk to people in business, they're always trying to talk about the technique or how to go about writing maybe an ad that'll make money, or how to write an email that'll make money, and all of that. And while that is good, there's nothing bad about that. You'll find out that the biggest point of leverage, the biggest point of sales that you can get is thoroughly understanding the audience and not so much about the technique. If you understand the audience and you know what their problems are, what their goals are, what they love, what they hate, even if you don't have the technique, you can sell to them and still make a lot of money. Now, an example, I recently told this on a call, a summit call I was on, but I once had a client in 2019 thereabouts, and she sold skincare. So on that time, we hadn't started Icon. It was just personal kind of clients. And she had a skincare product. At that point, she was making over 7 figures a month, and she wasn't conversant with copywriting or marketing or running ads or anything like that. And I was very surprised that how do you make so much money without understanding the technique, without knowing how do I write a sales letter, or how do I write an email, or how do I write an ad that produces results? However, what I realized was she had a good relationship with her market. She understood the market. She knew what they wanted. She knew their fears. She knew what products they wanted. She knew how to make the products to get the results her customers wanted. And that was why her business grew. So remember, we're talking about don't play the odds, play the man, right? And the point is, if you thoroughly understand the people you are selling to, that's your customers, your clients, there's so much more you can do in terms of selling to them that even if you don't understand the technique side of things, even if you don't, you're not the best email marketer in the world, you're not the best copywriter in the world, you still make a lot of sales because you have that understanding of the people you are selling to. Now, if you have that understanding and also have the technique and you combine them together, then you now make exponentially more money. But most people just focus on the technique without focusing on the markets. And I believe that's a very, very big problem that's going to hold them back when they want to make as much sales or revenue as they ought to in their business. So do you understand what I'm trying to say?
I do. I definitely understand what you just mentioned.
Yeah. And that's why you know that I always talk about understanding the people we are selling to at Icon. Even if you are not directly interfacing with clients, even if you are not the one writing the emails or the sales letter, everybody at the company needs to understand the type of clients we have, the type of people we are selling to, because that will drive every single decision you make. So it's the same principle, playing the man and not playing the odds, understanding the markets and not so much technique. And if you're able to do that, you'll be able to make much more sales, not because you're a genius, not because you're an expert, but because you just connect with your markets on a much, much deeper level. So that said, we move on to the third lesson I learned from Suits. Harvey was trying to get a client here, and after the whole discussion and all of that, he said a statement. Said the client said, Jessica, which is Harvey's boss, the client said, Jessica told me you're going to charm me into getting my business. And Harvey said, I'm not interested in getting your business. I'm interested in keeping it. And this is something that a lot of business owners need to think about a lot more often. It's easy to get the business. It's easy to get a customer, get a client. But can you keep them for a year? Can you keep them for 5 years? Can you keep them for 10 years? Because how you get a customer is not necessarily how you keep them. And if you get them in the wrong way, they're just going to go out as fast. And that's a problem with a lot of marketing agencies that I see online. They promise so many ridiculous promises that, as someone in the industry, I know it's not possible without having the right information. It's not possible to promise something like that. So you'd see something like make $1 million in 3 months or something like that. And there's no way you can realistically promise that without understanding what the business is currently doing, the product they sell, their profit margins, how they market, opportunities for growth. You can't promise any kind of result like that without fully understanding the context. And if you get a client like that, you might have gotten them, but are you able to keep them? And I think that's something more and more people need to think about. So there are many ways you can get a customer. You can lie to a customer to get them. You can deceive them to get them. You can overpromise and tell them this is the best thing in the world, and they will buy. Right? You can trick them into buying. But after they've bought, after they've had that first experience with you, how do you keep them? How do you ensure they keep coming back to buy? Because that's where the real money is. The money is not in the first purchase. No matter what you're selling, the first time somebody buys from you, let's even say they buy something worth $1,000 from you, right? Let's say they buy $1,000. They can probably come back 20 more times, 50 more times, 100 more times. That's $100,000 from just one customer you can get in the long run. But if you lose that customer after the first purchase, then all that money has basically vanished. So the point is, how do you create an environment where you don't just get customers, but you keep them for the long term? Now, there are two things you need to think about when doing that. The first is, how do you actually get customers in, right? You need to ensure that you are setting the right expectations. Don't say what you cannot do, essentially. Don't promise what you know you cannot deliver on, right? So much is outside of your control. As a marketing agency, there's so much outside of your control. You can do the best you can. You can write the best ad, the best email. You can do whatever it is. But if the client makes foolish decisions, like if they hire a wrong company to manufacture the products, no matter how good your ad is, you're not going to stay there very long. Because once they sell it, people buy, find out that the product is bad, then the business goes out, the company goes out of business, and they fire you. Right? So there's so much you cannot control. So you can't essentially promise so much. What you can do is promise that you'll do the best job possible for them within what is possible as an external advisor or a contractor, right? And then advise them on taking the best steps so that you can continually improve that profit. But there's so much you cannot do, right? So bringing them in the right way, not trying to lie or trying to exaggerate your importance, but just being rational, being basically, if you wouldn't talk to your mother that same way, probably shouldn't talk to your clients that way. You shouldn't just blow things so out of proportion that an average client is looking at you like, do you think I'm stupid? Like, I know it's not possible to achieve this. Do you understand? So that's the first thing. Now, the second thing is your service. What experience do the clients get from you? So you said you are going to get a particular maybe marketing content or piece of marketing at a certain time. Does it get to them at that time? Do you do the best possible job? Or do they have to keep going back for corrections every time? Right? How do you ensure that they have a smooth experience with you? How do you ensure that they love working with you? That they are not frustrated just trying to get a simple information, that you are available when they need to get a hold of you. If you set a meeting for 5 a.m., you are there by 5 a.m. You don't keep them waiting for 20 minutes, for 20, for 30 minutes. You understand? So all of this contributes to the experience that the customer has, that the client has. And that's the way you can keep them for the long term. If you do this over and over again, so you get them good results and you give them a good experience, then you see that you are able to keep the customers for the long term and not just getting them in the short term. So do you get what I'm trying to say? Does that make sense? Do you have anything to add?
Of course, it makes sense because I have had my own fair share of working with marketing agencies, right? And sometimes when I see the proposal or like the marketing plan that they have, right? Let's say for instance, paid ads, and 3 months you want to, this is, let's say for example, is a business that is just starting out. They don't have an Instagram account, for example. They don't have, maybe Facebook is the only thing, right? And then you are trying to do paid ads for them, right? And at the same time, while you are trying to do paid ads, you are also setting up their social media. And then within that time frame, you are saying in 3 months, you want to get them 20,000 followers. Do you understand? Like, except you are buying those followers, is most likely impossible to do that. But some of these brands, they might have an inkling that, oh, this might not be possible. Let them just try it out. Let us see, what they want to do. And that's why at the end of the day, they see that maybe their Instagram gets taken down or like one thing or the other is happening because, most of those users that are there are not their target audience on their both account and the like. So yeah, I think at the end of the day, just for marketing agencies to like set realistic goals, things that they know is within their range to achieve and all. But yeah.
Yeah, I agree with you. And something is, once you set this kind of agenda and once the timeline is expired and you cannot achieve it, then that's where problem starts, right? Because the client is not hiring you again, they are not referring you. So you
Or they
just
sue
got the
you.
clients, but you are not keeping them, or they sue you, right? You are not keeping them for the long term. But this is not just marketing agencies, this applies across the board. So if you are a weight loss coach, if you are a speaking coach, if you sell products, right? Maybe you sell laptops, whatever it is, just ensuring that you are not exaggerating what your products can do. You are giving your customers realistic expectations that they go in with their eyes wide open. Nothing is catching them unawares, so that when they use your products, they can stay with you for the long term. You're not breaking their trust essentially. While trying to sell to them. So yeah, that's the third lesson. Now the fourth lesson is 8 o'clock means 8 o'clock. Now essentially there was an episode where Harvey was trying to rent a car to get to a meeting, and again Harvey is the hotshot lawyer, the one who gets paid all the big bucks and very respected in the company. Mike is his associate, essentially his student that he's training to become a good lawyer. And Mike and Harvey were meant to meet by 8 o'clock to get to the client. So Harvey was there renting a car, and he had already rented the car. He was waiting for Mike. And when it was 8 o'clock, Harvey drove off. And as Harvey was driving off, Mike was coming behind him, right? So Harvey saw Mike through the mirror of the car, but still went off, went to the client's place. And he told the attendant at the car rental place to give Mike a note and tell him that 8 o'clock means 8 o'clock, i.e., don't be 1 minute later than 8 o'clock.
I remember that scene.
Yeah.
Yeah, I
So
remember that scene.
it's basically the act of being punctual, I think, is something that a lot of people don't value as much. And it's a big problem, right? Especially if you are a business owner and you are trying to be respected by your customers or your clients, things like that. Because the first level of respect that shows how much you want, how much you respect yourself, and so how much you respect the person you are meeting with, is showing up on time, right? So that's one reason why, obviously, our internal meetings, I'm very, very, very adamant about us showing up at the exact time we set. If we say we are showing up by 2, let's be there by 2. We say we are showing up by 8, let's be there by 8. I don't want you said I don't want us to argue on 8 and you come by 8:20, 8:15, right? Be there on time. Now, it's very important because if you are working with people where time is of essence, let's say for instance, as a marketing agency, I'm just going to use this as an example. You are running a campaign for a client, and it's a physical campaign, meaning you are sending physical promotions, so maybe a flyer or a sales letter physically, and it is for a particular holiday. So let's say Christmas holiday or Halloween or something. You need the marketing piece to get there before the day of the promotion. So let's say you are setting a promotion for Christmas. You want your marketing materials to have gotten there before Christmas Day. But if you have a printer that says, "Don't worry, I'll print and ship this thing out by the 23rd," and they now ship it out by the 24th, which is just one day, not a big deal. They ship it out by the 24th. But then you don't have an issue with your DHL or some of the packages get stopped by customs or whatever, right? And
Yeah.
then your marketing material now gets there on the 26th. There's no point. All the money you spent on design, on writing, on printing, all of that is a waste because the time has already gone for the marketing to be done, right? So the time is very, very important. That's why I don't respect people who don't show up to meetings on time because if I give you a job and we agree on a deadline, how am I sure, how am I certain that you're going to stick to that deadline? How do I know that you're going to do what you say you would do if you can't even show up for the meeting at the right time?
Time.
And as a business owner, whether you are getting clients, this should be a very good sign of a problematic client. If you agree on 4 p.m. for a meeting, does the client show up by 4 p.m. or does the client show by 20 minutes past 4? Now, if a client messages you maybe like 30 minutes to the time and says, sorry, I won't be able to make it, right? Or I will be 10 minutes late, 15 minutes late, that's fine. That is somebody respecting your time, letting you know ahead of time. But if they don't just say anything, they don't just show up at that particular time, you can see that this person is probably going to be a problematic client. And that's a good sign that you probably don't want to work with them, right? You might just let them go. Or if it's a vendor, no matter who it is, 8 o'clock should mean 8 o'clock, right? And that is one thing you can learn from the Netflix show. That'd be the end of the podcast. You stopped the recording. I
Yeah,
can
I
hear you.
paused it. I paused it.
So that brings us to the end of this podcast episode. Do you want to add anything before we wrap up?
I mean, Suits is a very interesting movie. So it kind of, makes sense that this episode is very, I mean, it's very interesting. And there are a lot of lessons to be learned. Even when I was watching the movie, I remember I had this small jotter like this where Harvey says something, or Mike says something. I just go to like jot it down and then read more on most things are related to law anyways. But yeah, that's actually been a very interesting episode.
Yeah. All right. If you'd like more email marketing, general marketing, lead generation lessons, head on over to ikonmedia.net. That's ikon media.net and join my email list there. When you join my list, you get a book called Your Email List Is Your Wife. It shows you 11 ways to generate more profits, more sales, more revenue from your email marketing. So if that's something you would do, head on over to iconmedia.net, sign up for my email lists, and you'll be sent that book. So that brings us to the end of this episode. Have a nice day. Bye.